Well, the Minnesota Wild Game 7 was on Friday. Wild could not get it done against a very good Vegas team, but still, a lot of positive notes for our Minnesota Wild going into next year. Kevin Faulness with the Minnesota Wild Radio Network joins us to talk about that Game 7 and the Wild moving forward and the rest of the playoff picture. We got some exciting hockey still to come in the chase for the Stanley Cup. Kevin, a good afternoon and appreciate the time.
As always, Aaron, happy to be with you.
Friday against a Las Vegas team that, you know, it was weird that Minnesota was able to play so well on their sheet of ice during the postseason. They had two wins there. And I think you mentioned last week that Vegas is a real tough place for anyone to go in and win. And Vegas, I mean, they showed their stuff on Friday, even though I thought the Wild, you know, they're down 1-0. They tie things up at 1, or they're down 2-1. They tie things up at 2. I thought they'd get over the hump, but Vegas kind of took control in the middle part of that game and never got off the gas pedal. And our Wild season comes to an end sooner than we had hoped, but they lost to a pretty good team that you've mentioned many times. You think whoever comes out of the West is going to win the whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, I would have thought that, you know, all things being equal, I think the Wild would have put up a little bit of a better fight. But, you know, in Game 6, Jules Erichsenet got dinged up, did something to his knee, and then he got aggravated early on in that game. In Game 7, they lost Jonas Brodin like 2 minutes in. I mean, that's a huge blow to this team. He's probably their best defensive defenseman, and to take him out of your top four, that put a lot of stress on the rest of the blue line. So, I mean, all that, those are excuses. I mean, but it would have been fun to see that Game 7 with all things being equal, everybody out there, you know, for the full 60 minutes and then let the cards fall where they may. But, yeah, I thought once they tied that thing up at 2-2, we're going to have a little bit closer down the end. But in the end, the Knights score 4 more, Wild end up losing 6-2, and that's a wrap. While they're off to the offseason, and the Vegas Golden Knights have their hands real full with the Colorado Avalanche.
We'll talk about that series, the Knights and the Avalanche, in just a moment. Looking ahead for the Minnesota Wild, I mean, the good news is things are looking bright for the future of Minnesota. We're definitely headed in the right direction. I mean, this was a team at one point during the season was maybe top two or top three when it comes to a favorite to win the whole thing, which before the season, I don't think any of us would have said, yeah, the Wild are considered as with a handful of other teams to be a team that could win Lord Stanley's Cup. So the good news is the group they got together moving forward, there's a lot of positivity heading into next season.
Yeah, the building blocks should make not only Wild fans feel excited about the upcoming season, but, I mean, the general manager and Bill Guerin, the head coach and Dean Evason, and anyone else that's returning to this roster next year. I mean, you look at the rookie season Kirill Kaprizov had in 20-some points, 20-some goals, 50-some points. I mean, just a breakthrough season as he makes the journey over to the National Hockey League and has his first year here in North America. The 1-2 punch that we hoped for came to fruition because Kevin Fiala had another wonderful season as well. And then, you know, you look at what you have there on the back end. You have Jules Erichsenet, who had 20 goals this season. Who would have thought that would be possible in a 56-game schedule? So there are some definite building blocks here for Minnesota. And, you know, and let's not forget that Bill Guerin went and signed Cam Talbot last year. He's going to be back again. And I think he, you know, some could argue he was their MVP through, if not the regular season, certainly that playoff run. They don't get to a seventh game without Cam Talbot. So there's definitely some things that I think people can hang their hat on when they think about things that they're excited about next season.
Kevin Faulness, Minnesota Wild Radio Network. Kevin, where are the question marks in the offseason? Is there guys that are going to be free agents? Are there guys that could be moved? Where are the question marks when it comes to this roster?
Yeah, I mean, these aren't when you think of the significant pieces on this roster, I think those things are pretty well hammered down. The question marks are in some of those role players, an Ian Cole and a Nick Bonino, for example. One of them up front, one of them on the back end, both unrestricted free agents, came in, signed a 1-year deal, and I think if you ask Bill Guerin and he took a big dose of troop serum, he'd tell you, yeah, he'd love to have both of them back. Depends on how things work out as far as the salary cap and all that other good stuff goes. But those are the two big question marks, I think, for the offseason. You also have Nick Bjugstad, I think there's a couple of other pieces that are out there that are unrestricted free agents heading into the off season that would have to be solidified before that you could bring them back. But again, for the most part, those are role pieces. You've got Kaprizov, you've got Joel Eriksson-Ek, you've got Fiala. Your back end is sewn up, and you got your goaltender all under lock and key. So it's pretty much right now it's about figuring out the role players and if they fit. If they don't fit, and that's not any disrespect to Bonino or Cole. I think both of them were phenomenal this season for Minnesota, considering what they brought to the table. But both, you know, if it doesn't work out, I wouldn't say that the season's at a loss if you can't have them going into next year. So those are just some of the question marks that that Guerin's going to have to answer.
Kevin, we're down to 8 teams in the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs. You talked about Vegas having their hands full with Colorado, and the Avalanche beat them up pretty good in game number 1. I think the Wild, we tired them out a little bit, but the Avs, they showed that they have to be the favorite on paper, and what they display on the ice, they have to be considered the best team in hockey, along with Tampa Bay.
Yeah, man. Yeah, and even Tampa Bay, I put the Avalanche in another class. I mean, anything can happen in hockey. Weird things happen every year. We see it time and time again. Who would have thought Toronto would have got bounced by Montreal? That's just the latest example of weird things happening in hockey. But if they stay healthy, especially that three-headed monster they have on the top line, if Grubauer stays healthy between the pipes and they keep Makar above ground there on their blue line, they're the team to beat. And you know, I love Tampa Bay. Boston's a good team. But I don't think anyone can hold a candle to Colorado at this point. I could be proven wrong, but I just think they're that good. And that makes me ill to say it because I'm not a huge Colorado Avalanche fan these days. But to me, they are just heads and shoulders above everyone else.
Kevin Faulness, Minnesota Wild Radio Network. You mentioned Toronto. They were up 3-1 against Montreal, and Montreal comes back and beats Toronto. That poor city. I mean, that's hockey city up there in Canada. I mean, I know every city considers themselves hockey city, but Toronto, my goodness. I mean, that town must be just stunned with the early exit.
And not only losing, but they lose to Montreal. And like you said, folding their tent after a 3-1 series lead for a team that, you know, is in a city that's incredibly hungry to get past, not only get to the playoffs, but do some damage. And this is a team that was built for postseason success. When you look at the big guns they have in front, led by, you know, Austin Matthews, is just a horse, just a phenomenal player. But they got Marner, they got Nylander. I mean, they've got some real good pieces there. And for them to go down in 7 games to Montreal of all teams, I just can't imagine what the somber note is there in Toronto. Better days are ahead for the Maple Leafs. You know, I'm sure they'll use this as a building block for the future. But how devastating, because that was a team that I put right up there in the same class as Tampa and Boston for sure. I don't think anybody's on the same class as Colorado at this point, but with the firepower they have, I thought Toronto would make some noise for sure.
Kevin, my wife is originally from just outside of Winnipeg, so we're Wild fans, 1, Jets fans, 2. What are the Jets' chances in the rest of the postseason? I don't know much about them.
Well, I mean, they're okay. It's hard to say because, you know, every team is dealing with their own division. So, you know, whereas the Wild got to feast on the lower half of the West Division, the upper half, you know, it proved to be pretty formidable. When you look at the North Division, when you talk about Edmonton and Winnipeg and Calgary, I can't tell you that there's a whole lot that separates any of them because I didn't watch a lot of them. They're over there in the North and playing in that Canadian division. But I mean, Winnipeg's okay. I would think that Edmonton, you know, with all of their fancy toys and McDavid and, you know, some of the other folks they got on that, Leon Draisaitl, I mean, come on. I would have to think that they would completely outclass them. But, you know, Winnipeg, you know, I don't know. I would have a hard time picking the Jets to survive the North Division, but maybe they could prove me wrong as well.
Around the dinner table tonight, I'm going to tell my wife, you know, I asked Kevin about your hometown, about the Winnipeg Jets.
They're okay.
And yeah, he didn't say they were great. He goes, you know.
Yeah, you know, there's not a lot. I mean, I can't wait till we get back to the day when the Central Division is back in order and we get things all, you know, and we get to see Winnipeg on a more regular basis. You know what they got in there? They got Hellebuck, they got Scheifele, they got Wheeler. They've got some good players on that team, and then they made the trade with Columbus to add to their fuel. But when I think of the powers in the National Hockey League, Winnipeg ain't in the upper echelon. I would put Minnesota even up ahead of the Winnipeg Jets. But, you know, give them credit. They're still alive. They're still, you know, going at it. I just don't think I would pick them to hoist Lord Stanley's Cup this year.
Kevin, prediction at this point, who's in the finals and who wins it?
It's Colorado. The seeding's going to be weird once they figure out who survives when you get down to the final four, then they'll reseed according to record. But, I don't know who they'll face, but I think the Colorado Avalanche win the whole thing. And, again, assuming everybody stays healthy, they're, to me, the landslide favorite. So if you want to say Tampa Bay and Colorado, I'd have to assume that that's how the cards would fall if they get to that point. And I would take Colorado by a wide margin. And Tampa Bay is good, but Colorado's that much better.
Kevin Faulness, Minnesota Wild Radio Network, putting a wrap on the Wild season. There's still plenty of great NHL hockey yet to go, and we'll check in with Kevin as we get closer to the Stanley Cup Finals. Kevin, thank you so much for the time. Always a blast talking to you, my friend, and we'll talk again soon.
Sounds good, Aaron. I look forward to it. Give me a holler anytime.
Sounds good. Appreciate it.